Hi, listeners. Make sure to download the free coloring sheet to go along with this episode at the link in the show notes. You can also access a full episode activity guide to learn more about today's topic by joining the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you gain access to all the episode activity guides and our weekly Field Notes publication to learn more about God's wild and wonderful world. Join at erinlynham.com/nattheo.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author. And I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you.
We are all looking for adventure.
Have you ever been playing outside when you hear a bee buzzing past you? Do you get nervous when you see a bee close to you? Bees can make us nervous because we don't want to get stung. But as we will learn today, we shouldn't let the fear of being stung by a bee keep us from learning about these amazing creatures, because they truly are amazing. Did you know that bees can do math? That's right. Bees can do math. My friend Jenny is a beekeeper, and she will be joining us later on today's episode. She recently taught me that bees work together to measure distances in their hives. They do something called festooning, where they link their legs together like a chain of bees. Bees festoon, linking together to work as a team in building the hive, and some scientists believe they do this to measure gaps within the hive. It's almost like one bee is saying, "Hey, fellow bees, it looks like this gap here is about 4 bees wide. Let's work together to fill it in." Measuring is a form of math. Bees can also add and subtract. Scientists tested bees' math skills by creating a math maze where bees proved their addition and subtraction skills. This is downright amazing when we consider that a bee's brain is smaller than a grain of rice. So if you're having trouble with math, perhaps watch some bees. Or you can log into CTC Math's online program. Whether you homeschool or attend school, CTC Math can help you through their short step-by-step video lessons and interactive questions. My kids use CTC Math to master skills at their own level and pace, making math lessons less frustrating and more fun. Explore CTC Math for free for 1 week at ctcmath.com. So, bees can do math. What other amazing things do you think they can do? We are about to find out. Here's our trail map for today. We will learn what important job do bees have, and how do they build their hives and work together as a team. We will look at the question, can bees dance, and learn how bees carry pollen. Standing here at the trail map, what is the most important thing that we should bring with us? What's the most important thing to bring on every adventure? God's word. So let's start with a verse of the day. Today's verse comes from Psalm 119:11. I chose this verse because one thing that we will learn about bees is that they carry what they need with them. And in the same way, we should always be carrying what we need with us. And that is God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Listen to this beautiful song inspired by Psalm 119:11 by Scripture Lullabies. You can stream all their powerfully peaceful music inspired by Scripture on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and Pandora.
Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Your word
right, listeners, before we get going, I have a trivia question for you. How many types of bees are there in the world? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. I have a question for you. What jobs do you enjoy doing? Do you like cleaning your room, washing the dishes, taking out the trash, walking the dog? Work is an important part of life. God designed us for work, and we can find purpose in our work when we do it well and for God. Although some work isn't always fun, we all have important jobs to do, including bees. Do you know what bees are doing when they buzz around flowers, hovering above blossoms and landing on top of them? When you see bees doing this, they are taking part in very important work that God gave them to do. Bees are pollinators. A pollinator is a creature that helps spread pollen so more plants can grow. What exactly is pollen? Pollen is a very fine or small powdery substance made by the male part of flowers. You see, flowers have male and female parts, and God designed those parts to work together to create more flowering plants. When pollen from a male part lands on a female part, that flowering plant can make more flowering plants. Flowering plants need to exchange or share pollen with other flowering plants of their own kind so they can make more of that kind of plant. But there's a problem. Plants can't walk. So how do they get around to share pollen with each other? They can't. God designed a very creative solution to this through bees and other pollinators. A bee will land on a flower to collect pollen and another thing that flowers give called nectar, a sweet liquid inside of flowers that bees eat and turn into honey. Collecting pollen and nectar can be a messy job, and a bee's body ends up covered in powdery pollen. When that bee flies away to another flower of the same kind, the pollen rubs off of the bee and onto the flower. In this creative way, pollen is exchanged or shared between the plants, and now new plants can grow. This job that bees do is very important. Back when God created the world, including plants and insects, he said this in Genesis 1:11. Let the earth produce plants, some to make grain for seeds and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant. And it happened. You see, God set up this whole process at creation as a way to plant a beautiful garden across the earth. And the plants he created are not only beautiful, but we need them for food. In fact, scientists believe pollinators help around 80% of the world's flowering plants to make more plants. And it's estimated that bees pollinate around 1/3 of the food that we eat. Basically, listener, bees are incredibly important for putting food on our tables. It's all part of God's design in providing what we need. So bees have a very important job to do in collecting pollen and nectar. But what do they do with all that pollen and nectar? I wanted to learn more about the lives and work of bees, so I invited my friend, Jenny Hedrick, who is a beekeeper, to help us dive into a beehive. But before we dive in, this is for the adults listening. Jenny hosts the Super Simple Homeschool podcast, where she shares incredibly informative and encouraging information for homeschoolers on everything from curriculum and homeschooling methods to mental health for homeschool moms. Check out her podcast and homeschooling resources, including fun homeschooling journals at supersimplehomeschool.net or at the link in today's show notes. Now, if you have ever seen honeycomb in a beehive, you might notice it is made of hexagon shapes. A hexagon is a shape with six sides. I asked Jenny how bees build their hives with these hexagon shapes, and here's what she said.
Have you ever seen honeycomb? If you closely examine the hexagon shapes, you may notice that they look so perfect, it almost looks fake. These perfect little hexagons are made of beeswax. But why hexagons? The short answer is because hexagons can hold the most honey. You see, mathematically speaking, a cylinder or a round straight vessel, kind of like your glue sticks, cylinders hold the most possible liquid. But if you took a bunch of glue sticks and tried to fill a box with them all stacked together, you'd have lots of gaps in between them, which is wasted space. The solution is the hexagon shape, very similar to the cylinder, but fitting together perfectly so that no space is wasted. But what is beeswax? Bees eat the honey, and as it is digested, the honey gets converted into wax through a series of wax-producing glands on the bee's abdomen. Then, this wax is secreted out through the pores of the abdomen, kind of like how you and I sweat, forming little wax flakes on their bodies. Another bee will then chew the flakes off and keep chewing it up. As they chew the wax flakes, the enzymes in their saliva soften the wax until it is moldable like clay. It is then that the bees finally add it to the comb in the amazing hexagonal pattern.
Wow. So beeswax is like the bees' modeling clay that they make their perfect hexagon shapes and honeycomb out of. Bees are quite the engineers. For bees to have such an operation and be such good builders, they need to work as a team. My mom is also a beekeeper, and between her and my friend Jenny, I have heard about the different types of bees in a hive, including a queen bee, drones, and worker bees. I asked Jenny to explain how these bees work together.
Bee colonies are highly organized, and every bee has an important job that benefits the hive. The queen bee is essential to the survival of the colony. She lays all the eggs that will grow up to become more bees. In the summer, the queen will lay up to 2,000 eggs every day. The queen tells the workers what to do through pheromones, which is like a special scent that she puts off. Queen bees live 2 to 3 years before the colony will raise a new queen to replace her. The queen lives her whole life in the hive, only leaving once at the beginning of her life to mate with drone bees from other colonies. Drone bees are the male bees. They are bigger than female bees and have huge eyes to be able to spot and mate with a queen bee while flying. Drone bees cannot feed themselves, instead relying on worker bees to feed them. They hang out at the hive, or they venture off to drone congregation areas, which is like a big party of drone bees who wait for the queens to mate with them. Drones live for about 90 days and do not get to spend the winter in the hive with the worker bees. The worker bees make up the majority of the honeybees in the colony. Worker bees are all female. The queen lays her eggs in the cells of beeswax. The egg becomes larva, then pupa, then forms a little cocoon and becomes the bee, eating its way out of the cell. The female worker bee will live around 40 days, and her job is determined by her age.
Listener, have you ever had different jobs to do at different times in your life? Maybe as you get older, your parent or caregiver gives you new jobs or responsibilities. Well, Jenny explained to me that worker bees have different jobs to do depending on their age. Here's what she said.
At 1 to 2 days old, her job is to clean the cells, starting with the one she came out of. She is also in charge of keeping the brood warm. Brood is what we call bees that are still growing in the cell. At 3 to 11 days old, her job is to feed larvae, honey, and pollen. We call these the nurse bees.
Listener, do you remember from past episodes what larva is? That is the baby form of an insect. So just like a caterpillar is the larva form of a butterfly, bees have a baby or larva form also. And the nurse worker bees are in charge of feeding them. Jenny explained how the worker bee's job changes as she grows older.
At 12 to 17 days old, she will produce wax, build comb, and remove dead bees from the hive. And at 18 to 21 days old, she gets guard duty. She protects the hive entrance. Finally, at around 20 days old, she takes her first flight out of the hive. This is called an orientation flight. In an orientation flight, she flies circles around the hive, high and low, in order to become familiar with the hive and its surroundings so that she can find her way back to the hive after foraging. At 22 days old, the worker bee becomes a forager, flying away from the hive to collect pollen, nectar, and water for the colony. Each job that the bees have are designed for the survival of the colony. Every task is important to keep the colony strong and thriving so that they can survive the winter and continue to grow. If even one job isn't being done well, the entire colony could collapse, resulting in the death of tens of thousands of bees.
As Jenny explained, it is very important for the bees to do their jobs well and work together as a team. You know, working as a team requires having great communication or being able to share information and ideas with each other well. When I was learning about how bees work together, I came across a very interesting and creative way that bees communicate with each other. They dance. Now, bees don't dance like we might dance. But they have a very special dance called, are you ready for this? The waggle dance. They perform this dance to let other bees in their hive know when they have found a good source of pollen. In the waggle dance, a bee moves in a very specific figure eight shape with a long line down the center, which shows its hive mates or other bees what direction the good food source is in. Scientists also believe that the waggle dance communicates how far the food source is and even how good the food source is. The waggle dance is packed with helpful information. Bees are very busy working as a team, waggle dancing, and collecting pollen and nectar. But how exactly does a bee carry pollen back to the hive? Have you ever seen a bee with a backpack? Me neither. Recently, I was watching many bees buzzing around a tree full of flowers in our front yard. I noticed bright yellow blobs on the back of the bee's legs. I asked my friend Jenny what these are, and her response taught me how bees carry their pollen. Here's what she said.
As a worker bee visits flowers, it collects nectar for making honey and pollen for feeding larvae. Have you ever charged up a balloon by rubbing it on the carpet and then hold it above your head? What happened? Your hair might have stood on end as it was attracted to the energy charge of the balloon. That's static electricity. When a bee flies through the air, it produces static electricity so that when it lands on a flower, the pollen is attracted to it and sticks all over the bee's body. The bee has hairs all over her body that the pollen sticks to, but she has special hairs on her back legs called corbiculae that collect and hold pollen. She uses her back legs to scrape and gather the pollen from the rest of her body where it is stored on the corbiculae for transporting back to the hive. We call them her pollen baskets. A single bee can carry pollen up to 35% of its body weight. As a bee flies from flower to flower, she also drops pollen between them, which aids in the pollination of the plants, which is essential for life on this planet. Without the bees, our world would not be the life-giving planet that it is.
What do you think would happen if bees had no way of carrying pollen back to their hive? Well, they couldn't survive, and we wouldn't have a lot of the tasty foods that we enjoy. You see, bees carry with them their sustenance. Do you know what sustenance means? Sustenance often refers to food and water. It's what we need to survive and what gives us strength. You know, just like bees carry their sustenance, what they need, with them, God calls us to carry what we need with us. And what do we need? God's word, His truth found in the scriptures. Now, bees are carrying their food with them, but listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Of course, our bodies need food and water to live, but Jesus wasn't talking about our bodies. He was talking about our souls, who we are inside, that lives forever. Bread or food cannot keep our souls alive. We need God's truth for that, found in the scriptures. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I told you are spirit, and they give life." How do you think words can give life? Well, God's word gives life because it is life. It is living. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." God's word, the Bible, is unlike any other book. It is alive and it gives life. I have experienced this in my own life. When I read and study God's word, I am more alive. I understand how God wants me to live in this life on earth, and I remember the eternal life and the hope that I have in Him for eternity. So, how can we carry God's word with us? We don't exactly have pollen baskets, but we can carry around God's word in our hearts and our minds. Do you remember our verse of the day? Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." How do you think we can hide God's word in our hearts? Well, this verse simply means to tuck God's word inside of us. This verse was originally written in the Hebrew language, and the word for hide is the Hebrew word safan, which means to store up and treasure. Can you think of any ways to store up and treasure God's word in your heart? We can read God's word, the Bible, every day. We can sing God's word, like with the song we heard earlier from Scripture Lullabies. We can memorize Bible verses. We can also create art with God's word to help us remember it. My kids and I recently practiced memorizing a verse by creating scripture art. We cut out words from a verse we had printed out and glued them in order on a page and added cutouts of birds to decorate our pages. So listener, whenever you see honeybees, respect them and give them their space, but also look closely to see if you can spot any pollen in their pollen baskets. If you do, remember that just like the bees carry their sustenance with them, we should carry what we need, God's word, with us. Do you remember our trivia question? How many types of bees are there in the world? What do you think? Maybe 100? 500? 1,000 or more? There are between 20,000 and 25,000 species or types of bees in the world. Wow. God must be super creative. and we know he is, to create 20 to 25,000 different types of bees. God's creativity never ends. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find a bee at work. Remember to keep your distance and not disrupt their work, but see if you can spot a bee collecting pollen and pollinating flowers. If you see one, imagine it returning to its hive and doing the waggle dance to tell its hive mates where the flowers are. Thank you to Jenny of the Super Simple Homeschool Podcast for joining us on this episode to teach us about bees. And thank you, listener, for tuning in to Nat Theo. We will see you next time as we explore more of God's wild and wonderful world.
Yeah, we are all looking for